Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. We're hoping to have better luck with the podcast this week as we roll out the Monday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call in the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, go ahead and feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, those blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, but, hey, you know, feel free to pop on over there and check out what's going on. Now, pretty much any day of the week, you never know what might show up over there. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at
Dan the Man with three.
All right. Now, you know, Dan, this was something I was actually kind of hoping to talk about with you last week, but obviously you and I know we had quite a few technical difficulties. we actually had, for the first time in, I think, my memory, a professional wrestling show on a major network in prime time as the WWE show SmackDown moved over to Fox. You know, it did very well in the ratings. It got a 1.4 share of the key demographic, which is 18 to 49. And then it had 3.87 million viewers, which put it third in its time slot. You know, were you surprised that the numbers did this well, or... You know, I know we had talked about, I kind of joked around that I learned that it was going there from a football game. Were you just buying that the hype pushed this rating, and do you think it stays?
I definitely think, you know, the promoting definitely helped push the rating. But, you know, the one thing, and I'm glad you brought it up, is I actually wanted to ask you about it, too, is where did the suddenly overwhelming interest comments of pro wrestling? Or when did this happen?
Yeah, you know, I'm just wondering if maybe, you know, maybe all the promotion helped. You know, I mean, like, you know, like I was telling you, it was on every Fox show. I mean, football, baseball, you know, their talk shows, you know, it was talked about, so I'm guessing maybe enough people spot. I mean, I guess the key is, can it hold this rating?
You have to wonder. I mean, the premiere was that this Friday was at the Staples Center, home of the Clippers and the Lakers. And I kind of think the Clippers look better this year than the Lakers, but that's besides the point. You know, did it help boost ratings that The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, was going to be there? And I don't know, you know, you threw the numbers out there. I think I'm on the high end. Wow, that really sucks. The high end of that demographic. I'm actually 2 years away from just over, you know, going over that demo. So I don't know. I mean, how relevant was Hulk Hogan from the 30 to 40 range, you know, does he still have power?
I'm right at the start. I'm right at the start of that demographic, so I don't have anything to worry about. So,
yeah. So I mean, but, you know, did, was that part of it? Because I know, you know, The Rock deciding to go back to WWE for one night only doesn't touch just sports channels, but I mean, the one local radio station I listen to in the morning, which is pretty much, you know, the old people's radio station now. They were even talking about it Wednesday and Thursday, or Thursday and Friday, whichever days it was. So, you know, they weren't promoting it, but they were talking about it. So, you know, does that take play into it too? I guess they have to like follow it for the next couple of weeks, see if the ratings will hold. But I don't know. Apparently, you know, the WWE and pro wrestling in general has become a lot more popular in the last couple of years.
Yeah, you know, and obviously, you know, having those guys on, you know, like I, you know, even though it was new to this or whatever, I still didn't watch a ton of it. I just don't have a lot of interest in it anymore. But, you know, like I watched the opening segment with The Rock because I kind of figured that's where he would be. You know, I mean, you know, there were, I mean, it was nothing spectacular. I mean, it was pretty typical of what you were going to expect. So I don't know. I mean, I know there were a lot of people who, you know, a lot of the, as Dan, you and I know, they're called smark, which is the term for what is supposed to be a smart wrestling fan that didn't like the show. But obviously that didn't reflect in the ratings, but yeah, we'll have to see how it carries on. 'Cause you know, The Rock isn't going to be there this Friday. You know, Hogan isn't going to be there. You know, Flair, whoever else they're planning, you know, they originally had signed for that show was, you know, it was one night only. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, I don't know if Cain Velasquez and Tyson Fury can drive ratings enough to keep it there, because that seems to be the big things they're headed for. I guess they want Cain Velasquez to wrestle Brock Lesnar in Saudi Arabia, and then they want to do Braun Strowman against Tyson Fury on that same show. But I don't know. I mean, do those two guys have enough name value to drive a rating? I mean, I don't think so. But again, what the hell do I know?
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I don't really know anything about the new guys. I mean, obviously, I know who Brock Lesnar is. I mean, he's probably up there as one of the oldest professional wrestlers now. I mean, you know, Batista's a Marvel character now, so I think he thinks he's a better actor than The Rock, so. I don't know who else is older than Brock.
Yeah, you know, the odd thing about it was I actually planned on watching much more of it. And, you know, like you would expect, I got sidetracked with the baseball game and just never went back. So, it may take you a little while to get used to having it on Friday night because, you know, it's been a Tuesday show for so long.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just, with all the advertising for Fox bringing in WWE and then, you know, how convenient for TBS to throw, I don't know what it stands for, but that AEW wrestling on their network, and then they're hosting, you know, the playoffs. I think they're really trying to capitalize on that, you know, so I don't know how much that's going to carry over, but their stadium looks packed, and I mean, they're, it seems like they're doing Tuesday and Wednesday night, so it might be good nights for them. You know, maybe I'm wrong, but, you know, they were going up against NXT in one night, and I actually just tuned into a couple for a few moments, and you know, NXT I think is supposed to give you that old ECW vibe, or so to speak, and you know, like you said, it's kind of the smarks, and you know, that's one thing I wanted to. Oh, before I go into that, I don't know, I just felt like AEW is definitely doing a better job than, you know, Dixie Carter did with trying to run TNA and trying to make it look like a total different product. So, I mean, you can actually confuse yourself and not know you're not watching WWE if you're watching AEW. So, you know, that might work into their favor. But you've got to wonder on, you know, how long before it becomes like a wrestling overload, you know, because you're looking at Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. And then I'm assuming, you know, both companies will be hosting pay-per-views every Sunday. I don't know, you know, extent on their online format and streaming, but, you know, maybe it's a good day and age for pro wrestling and a kind of a revival of it. You know, for me, and it'll never be the same. I just can't get back into it.
You know, and you actually did forget, probably because he's not on TV, but Billy Corgan has, you know, let's kind of revive the NWA. You know, he went back to the old blue and gold colors, and he has done a TV taping that he's shopping, and currently they are airing their stuff on their website and on YouTube. So you have that option if you want to do that. And then, believe it or not, Saturday night I was up a little late and I was flipping some channels. And on what's called the Z Living Network, where, as you know, I used to very much love the Urban Vegetarian, who is no longer on, they had a program called Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. So I popped it on the DVR because there was just no way I was going to sit through it. And, Dan, I guess the best term I could tell you to describe that one is it was indie-rific. So it was definitely, I mean, there were a lot of fat, out-of-shape guys that, you know, I was wondering, you know, if they, you know, like me, couldn't find the gym or, you know, got lost. And then I think there were some guys who, you know, didn't have gear, which is always kind of a pet peeve with some people unless it fits your gimmick. So, yeah, that was quite interesting. And, again, like I said, I do I did record that. And then on Saturday night, you forgot to mention that Access has a three-hour block of wrestling. They show an hour of WOW, which is Women of Wrestling, and then they show 2 hours of New Japan Wrestling, which is, let's call hard-hitting, would be the best way to put it. There is wrestling galore out there if you want to watch it. You know, I'm more of a just kind of flip to it, see what's kind of going on guy right now. I don't spend a long period of time. I may watch a match here or there or something, but I don't sit down and watch the full 2 or 3 hours or whatever they are. So,
no, you know, you mentioned, I do have a funny story about gear, wrestling gear, but maybe I'll say that for afterwards. You know, you mentioned how Ms. Marks, you know, didn't like the Friday Night SmackDown, and, you know, I can just imagine all their, you know, their blog posts and tweets about how bad the show was, but, you know, it's kind of like I learned in broadcasting school. For every listener who loved Howard Stern, they listened for 2 hours. For every listener who hated Howard Stern and wanted to get him kicked off the air, listened for 4. So, you know, and it kind of reminds me, on Facebook today, I'm in a couple of Star Wars groups. Yes, I wouldn't say a huge Star Wars nerd. I don't have a Star Wars man cave, and I do not have any toys. And I was not out Friday morning trying to get Mandalorian toys like I seen on Facebook all day. It actually
I was
You know, I don't get it. I don't understand the buying of toys to keep in a package to put on a shelf. unless, you know, just to put it in a room to say you have it. But hey, that's not me, that's them, and keep doing it if that's what you want to do. That's not you, and hopefully when your kids inherit them, when you die one day, they can sell it for a lot of money.
Yes.
But, you know, the biggest thing I see, I'm in like two Star Wars groups, and all anyone does is literally complain and dog the last two Star Wars movies. And, you know, the next one hasn't even come out yet in December, and they're trashing it and dogging it already. But you know damn well that every single one of those people who are trashing it are going to be there opening weekend to see it.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the thing. I mean, you know, these people who wrote a bad review about the show had to sit through the entire 2 hours. So while they didn't like it, they watched the entire thing. You know, and that's like I saw today, you know, there was a pay-per-view yesterday. I don't have the WWE Network, and I don't have the pay-per-view, so I just read the results. But, like, you know, I saw a lot of people just trashing it. But, again, you know, it's people who are paying the $10 a month to get the network or go right by the pay-per-view, which I don't think anybody does anymore because that would just be stupid. So, you know, I thought that was funny. But I thought I told you, you know, I think I've mentioned here before that I have SiriusXM radio in the car. And I stumbled across this show called Busted Open, which is a wrestling recap show. Normally it's hosted by Dave Lugano, LaGarza, or something like that. And he'll either have Bully Ray, who used to be Bubba Dudley, Tommy Dreamer, or Mark Henry on with him. And when I first started listening to it, I thought, oh, okay, this will be interesting because these guys will give me some insight into pro wrestling. Dan, these guys love everything that anybody does. I don't think I've heard them say a negative thing about anybody. You know, like they did mention they didn't like the way the main event ended last night this morning. But other than that, I mean, they just – you know, I thought, okay, this will be kind of controversial because it's guys not associated with big feds. And, I mean, no surprise, Mark Henry isn't going to say anything bad about WWE. But the other two guys have no allegiance there. If they don't like something, they could say they don't like it. No. You know, I mean, you and I are way more controversial here because if we don't like something, we actually say we don't like something. You know, that's just kind of like, oh, it's okay. So I listened to it for about a week, and I got to tell you, I got tired of it because they just didn't say anything. And I thought, well, I'll try again this morning because there was the pay-per-view. And, yeah, with the exception of saying they didn't like the way the main event ended, everything else was just fine. And I'm like, so you're telling me they put on great matches on every bout and there was nothing wrong? Really, I find it hard to believe.
Now, you know, it's funny because, you know, we know guys, a guy personally, both of us that have worked with Bubba and or Bully and Devon. And, you know, the one thing I took away from what he told me was that Bully was just, you know, what you expect for a guy top of the world as far as wrestling is to come down to the indie level, and that is nothing but a complete jerk. So it's surprising to hear that.
Yeah.
You know, he's still kissing butt to try to get back to the big show.
So, yeah, see, and that's what I expected when I heard him, you know, because, I mean, I've never met him personally, but, you know, like you said, I know his reputation, and I know, you know, especially on these indie shows, he's a bit of a jerk to the guys. You know, he's got that big star mentality, even though I think, I believe right now he's only working for Ring of Honor, which was one of the TV shows we didn't mention because you have to find that on Stadium, which is a streaming network if you're looking for that. And I think they stream a couple other ways. So but they don't have any kind of television deal. So, yeah, I thought for sure he would be a little controversial Nah. You know, about the worst they'll say about something is, oh, yeah, you know, that was okay. You know, and like every now and then they'll talk about a statement that I've seen, and I'll be like, what do you mean, okay? That was, you know, A, too long, or B, terrible, or whatever the problem was with it. And I'll be like, wait, and you guys thought this was okay? Yeah, why, you know, and again, then I get to the point of, you know, blaming myself because I'm the idiot who's listening to these guys. So, yeah, I was just like, well, I'm done with that. I'll find something else. I'll go back to the Fantasy Sports Network or something. So, but, yeah, you know, like I said, I found it kind of interesting that, you know, I know AEW did a really good rating on Wednesday night, you know, especially for TBS. I believe it was the highest-rated show on TBS in 5 years. So it'll be interesting to see if these, you know, if they can keep momentum going. And, I'm wondering if AEW has a little advantage because, you know, they didn't run out the Rocks and the Hogans and the guys like that. I mean, they used their roster. And, you know, the big surprise at the end was, I don't know if they called him Jake or Jack because I believe his real name is Jake. But they ran out Jake Hager, who most people would remember as Jack Swagger in WWE, but he's been gone for so long, I don't really think he has any big name value, do you?
No. I mean, among marks, I think he would, but no. You know, unless it's an indie show, that's where his value would come in for the locker room. But as a draw, I think so.
I think more people might remember it from him winning his MMA debut a couple of months ago than they would for his run in WWE, because that was 3-4 years ago now, maybe? So. But, yeah, we'll see. Well, I'll have to try to remember to keep looking at the ratings and see how they do and if they stack up and all that other fun stuff. So.
See, I don't know. I mean, it seems like it's really cool that they're bringing it all back and it's kind of getting the praise it deserves. But I'm definitely the bitter indie guy, so.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, my question was, you know, where was this, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago when I could have got my piece of the pie? You know, that's what I want to know. So, you know, but this is, oddly, this is a lot of the way the wrestling business works. It's very reciprocal. It'll be, you know, super hot and on top of the world for a while, and then there'll be a drop-off, and everybody thinks, oh, yeah, it's going to die. We're not going to see it anymore. And then it starts to build back up. So, you know, this is just one of those things that kind of happens. So, but all right, well, let's jump on to all the stuff you and I guess almost want to say prefer to talk about. We have, you know, all the series are going on in baseball tonight. We actually had one game wrapped up. The Rays saved their playoff life with a big 10-3 win over the Astros today. They really knocked Zach Greinke around. So they, you know, the Astros are still up 2-1 there. We have the Braves still attempting to knock out the Cardinals. It's 4-4 in the bottom of the ninth. So St. Louis is trying to get a win there. And I saw the Dodgers jumped out right away on the Nationals. They're up 1-0 in the bottom of the first. So if the Dodgers win, the Nationals are done. And then a little later, the 7:30 start time tonight has the Yankees at the Twins. And the Yankees are up 2-0 in that series. So one more win and you know, they're gone. But, yeah, I guess we'll start with the first game of the day. Dan, Did you get to peek in on any of it? Because I actually had kind of a humorous thing with me when it came to this, but did you get to see any of it? Let me bring Dan in and he can answer. There we go. I was a little scared there, Dan. I thought we were going to have that problem again. But did you get to see any of the Rays Astros game? Did you get catch it online or anything?
No, unfortunately. Whatever network they're on. They were on Fox today, correct?
They were on the MLB network today.
Oh. They said it was my home game, so I actually couldn't watch it. But I was listening to it, and I actually tuned in after Granky was taken out of the game. So it's not really one of my favorite pitchers outside of this decade. So to be honest, I was hugely disappointed.
Yeah, humorously for me, you know, I got up and the game was going on. It was the fourth or fifth inning. And I turned the TV on and I was flipping around and I flipped MLB Network. And I'm so used to them rerunning the games that I thought this was a repeat and I turned it off. And it literally took me 30 or 45 minutes to realize that it was the actual game, and I needed to go back and see what was going on. So, yeah, that was kind of like, oh, okay. But, yeah, rough outing for Granky. He officially goes 3 2/3 and gives up 6 runs. So, you know, that was, you know, Charlie Morton, again, was really good for the Rays. You know, in kind of typical Rays fashion, you know, he only went 5 innings, but that's what they do. And then they used 4 relievers to get through the rest of the game. But, you know, again, that's kind of how the Rays go about it. I know Greinke gave up 3 home runs in his 3 2/3 innings, and then Wade Miley gave up 1 later. So, you know, Tampa Bay is going to stick around for another day. I did see that Justin Verlander is going to go on short rest for the Astros. Is that game tomorrow? Do you know?
It should be.
I'm trying to remember if it's tomorrow or if they get the day off. Because, no, I think they played yesterday, so I don't know. I can never remember how they said. Well, it's game 3, so it should be tomorrow. Now, if I just pull up the schedule here, I could probably tell everybody instead of wondering like I'm an idiot. Tomorrow is Tuesday. Yes, they the American League plays tomorrow. So yeah, the Astros and the Rays will play in Tampa Bay again tomorrow. The Yankees and the Twins are scheduled, but we'll see about that, of course, depending on how this kind of works out.
You know, and I know, you know, you're the Mariners fan of the Cubs fan, but of these series, are you slightly rooting for one team over another despite your pick? I mean, you know, I kept forgetting that Cranky was with the Astros, and you know, to be honest, that's the team I would love to see go there and win it, even though I picked the Yankees, just so I could see Greinke kind of get in there and really make that postseason run, unlike he's been able to do with, you know, well, I guess, you know, with the Dodgers, but they didn't take it to the World Series. He was there. So, I don't know. Is there a team you're rooting for before you get out of the National League?
Yeah, you know, there are teams, you know, obviously, being from the Chicago area, I'd like to see the Cardinals knocked out. You know, we've always kind of rooted for the Dodgers here, so I would like to see them move along. And then, you know, the Astros, as good as a team as they are, and they were my preseason pick to win it all, so that would be nice. And, you know, secretly I was kind of rooting for the Twins just because for whatever reason they can't beat the Yankees. And actually I saw now that the Yankees have won 12 consecutive playoff games against the Twins. And I mean, that's just nuts. I mean, you got to think sooner or later this team gets a win, and, you know, maybe your guy Jake Odorizzi is the guy to break the streak tonight. You know, he'll get the Twins a win. But, yeah, you know, I was, you know, kind of secretly, you know, rooting for the Twins, even though, you know, obviously the Yankees have been a fantastic team. So, but, yeah, you know, we'll see. But I did, while we're on the Yankees, I wanted to throw something at you that I heard yesterday and see what you thought. I don't remember which game it was. If it was game one or game two. It might have been game two because Didi hit the grand slam. But there was a lot of talk that they think the Yankees will let Didi walk as a free agent because they like the way Gleyber Torres played shortstop while Didi was hurt.
You know, I think you might see a future World Series MVP signing with a new team. But how about you break down the NL because I got to take my quick break for about 5 minutes.
All right. Well, I'll run over here. We still have – well, actually, both games are going right now. The Braves and the Cardinals are headed into extra innings here. We've got a 4-4 game. And, you know, this series has really kind of been the disappointment, the bullpen disappointment, I guess you would call it, because neither team's bullpens have been – lights out or shut down or however you want to, you know, you want to look at these things. It's really been a scuffle here. And, you know, well, like today, Keuchel had a really short outing today, only 3 1/3. The Braves bullpen, with the exception of Shane Green, who gave up the tying run, was decent today. You know, that's the only run they've given up, but they've went through – Green was the sixth pitcher. So you got to wonder if we're going to see one of those starters come out of the bullpen. And then Dakota Hudson gave up all the Cardinal runs. I thought the bullpen had given up some. And the Cardinal bullpen has been extraordinarily bad in this series. But not today. They haven't given up any runs yet today, but they've used – 1, 2, why did you do that to me? I don't know why it switched on me there for no reason. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Carlos Martinez was the sixth pitcher out of the bullpen today. So it definitely, we've definitely seen a lot of pitchers. And I don't know what we'll do here heading into the 10th. It looks like the Cardinals have turned to Miles Mikolas, who I would have guessed would have been the game 4 starter, but obviously they have to get there first. So, might as well use him up if you need him. And we'll see who the Braves end up turning to. My guess would be Max Fried or Sean Newcomb, somebody like that who could give them multiple innings if needed. I don't believe they've used Melanson yet. Let me double check that. No, it's been Luke Jackson, Darren O'Day. Newcomb has already pitched. Josh Tomlin and Shane Green. So Melanson is available if they get a lead and they decide they want to close with him. So we'll see if they go that route or how it goes about. But looking here, Ronald Acuna is 4-for-5 today at the top of the Braves order. So we'll see if he, if it looks like he's going to get another at bat here because they're pinch hitting for Shane Green right now. So maybe he'll go 5-for-6. But I know that game is both these games are on TBS. So I'm assuming the Dodgers Nationals got bumped to TNT to get started because That's normally what they do here. And what was it? It was Rich Hill for the Dodgers, and was it Scherzer today for the Nationals? I thought it was Scherzer. You know, again, like I said, I've been having issues. Yes, it was. So where's my inning by inning? He gave up a run in the top of the first. I don't know if I can find out how they scored it. Did anybody homer maybe? Yeah, it looks like Justin Turner hit a solo home run. Yeah. So that's how the Dodgers got their run. Obviously, it's a very early. We're in the top of the second right now, and Rich Hill is actually is actually batting. And it looks like the Dodgers have a couple guys on. So I'm going to guess that Rich Hill isn't going to do much off of Max Scherzer, except for probably strike out. But I'm just guessing there. You never know. Maybe he'll take one deep. But we shall see how that goes. But, yeah, that's where they are. And the Dodger lineup looked like this today. It was Peterson leading off and right, Muncy batting second at first, Turner hitting third at third. Bellinger was the cleanup guy in center. Corey Seager fifth at short. Beattie was hitting sixth in left field. Lux is seventh at second base. And Smith was doing the catching, hitting eighth. And then, of course, the pitcher hit ninth. For the Nationals today, we had Trey Turner leading off at short. Adam Eden batting second, playing right. Anthony Rendon hitting third, playing third. Juan Soto is the cleanup guy in left field. Howie Kendrick is fifth at second. Ryan Zimmerman is sixth at first. Kurt Suzuki is seventh doing the catching. Michael Taylor gets the start today in center field and hits eighth. And then, of course, Scherzer hits ninth. So that's what we're looking for there. I am looking here. It's 1-2 on Rich Hill, and I'm looking to see if he strikes out here as the game day thing is working here. Because I think, yeah, that'll end the inning. There's two outs in this inning. So I was just kind of under the impression that, you know, he would blow Hill away with some fastballs. He fouled one off. Look at that. And it is 2-2. Oh, and I got to be in trouble because I know I'm not supposed to do play-by-play. So we'll just kind of stumble around this until Hill gets through the bat here, and we'll see how this goes. And hopefully we'll get a realization to this at bat soon, and I won't just kind of have to ramble. But I'm interested. You know, I know the Nationals have been bringing the starters out of the bullpen, and boy, man, it didn't work last night with Patrick Corbin. He really got knocked around. So I don't know. We'll have to see if they, I guess if they have to go with it today, they have to, because it's make or break for them.
Yeah.
So, you know, will we see Strasburg? Well, there you go. Hill just struck out to end the inning. So it's 1-0 Dodgers going into the bottom of the second. So,
you know, and it's third. I don't want to say, well, I'm not going to use the word underdog at all, but as far as, like, a storyline would go, Big Jack, and, you know, kind of carrying over from our wrestling talk from earlier, as far as storylines go, you know, the Nationals have probably one of the most emotional storylines that would take them into the World Series, as to why I kind of secretly root for them, even though I just have a Dodgers-Yankees World Series all lined up in my brain, and that's what I'm waiting for at the end of this month. It's just basically that series to go on and the Yankees to win. But, you know, it would, I think, mean something to the Nationals, Max Scherzer, and, you know, the fans that I've got to imagine they were showing up finally. I know it's not regular season. So, you know, that would be kind of a cool story for them to kind of run through it, since, you know, the Nationals haven't been to a World Series. And the last time this organization even was in the running was really, what, 94? When the strike happened? So, you know, again, it's one of those, like, stories you would like to just read about and be kind of cool. But kind of backtracking to what you asked, you know, it seems like the new MO for the Yankees, though, is to not just go out there and spend big because they can. And I don't know if that's a Brian Cashman thing, but, you know, it's worked out pretty well for them. And, you know, I mean, I guess you can kind of see them not wanting to go forward with paying Didi a bunch of money for, what would you expect he's anticipating, 5 to 7 years?
Yeah, well, you know, well, I think he, what is he, is he 30? So you got to figure he would probably want 5 years, you know, 4 or 5 at least. So, and, you know, you got to figure, you know, between 18 and 20 million, I would guess.
Yeah.
So
I mean, and you've got to imagine if it's between 5 to 7, let's just say 7, that those last 3 years would be kind of a wash, and you might not have a guy playing full time. So that's where the challenge comes in. But, you know, God knows what the Cubs and Theo are going to be doing this off season. But if they're really not buying in on, and I hate to, by the way, I gotta bring it back home. Why do I do that? But, you know, it's in all likely good possibility that if you're going to walk from Addison Russell and whoever else you think can play that really can't play shortstop, he'd be a great add to the team, especially if you trade away Chris Bryant and then, you know, also sign Rendon. It'd be two huge adds in this offseason. But, you know, that's just,
yeah,
I mean, it's a little crazy talk.
The kind of humorous thing about this is, you know, it's pretty much been set that the Red Sox aren't going to spend any money, but boy, would Didi solve their second base problem in an instant if they were willing to sign him.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, he used to be a utility guy, so it's not like he can't play the position. You know, he's done it before. I think he's played second in a little center in his career when he was with Arizona. But, you know, man, I mean, I, you know, and I know he had a down year with the bat, but you got to remember he was coming back from Tommy John surgery. So, you know, I think next year he'll probably hit a little closer to his career numbers. But he still had the power even with the down average. So, yeah, you know, and that, yeah, when they were talking about that, I just kept thinking to myself about, man, he would look so good at second base for the Red Sox and would really help them out, but they can't sign him.
Well, you know, and another, to bring it back home again, you know, we don't know the future of the White Sox, but yeah, so you passed on, you know, San Diego boy. I can't think of his name right now. That's where you come in.
Manny Machado.
You know, how would Didi look in some other color, similar pinstripes with his name on the back? Because the White Sox put the name on the back, the Yankees don't. So, I mean, I think if it plays out the way it is and the Yankees don't sign him, I think he's going to be a major topic for, you know, baseball in the offseason. And I'll be honest.
Yeah, he'll.
I made my bracket picks, and I picked the Yankees, and I put Didi as the World Series MVP. So,
I have the Astros and Jose Altuve. All right, that's where I am.
Answer.
So, you know, but yeah, it'll be you know, yeah, when, you know, it, obviously he's going to get on the free agent market. He's going to have plenty of suitors. It's just going to depend on, what he's going to want, you know, dollar-wise. But, yeah, he's definitely going to have, you know, a lot of teams interested in him. You know, and if they're not, they're foolish. You know, if you're not going to be interested in a guy like that. And, I mean, you know, we even saw, I mean, going back to the Yankees, you know, they signed DJ LeMahieu when everybody told them it was a bad idea. you know, because you had all these guys, you know, you had Didi coming back and you had Miguel Andujar and you'd signed Troy Tulowitzki and you had Torres. And LeMahieu went out and he's probably going to finish in the top three in the American League MVP. But it was a bad idea for them to sign him. So.
You know, and again, you can sit out there and you can buy into this analytical rebuild, but the Yankees are the exact prime example of how to kind of do it without having to tear it down completely and sell an entire market on this rebuild. You know, like you said, the Astros were kind of pretty much the first ones to do it, but I wouldn't say they were doing it like Theo did it. I think they were doing it because they really had absolutely no choice. It wasn't like a, hey, we're bringing in this guy to run the team, and hey, I'm going to rebuild this team for the great fans of Houston. No, you had no choice. I think part of their process of tanking was to get them out of the NL Central. You know, there's always a lot more factors than, you know, there's guys that are going to be out there who are strictly baseball guys and will tell me I've got a foil hat up. But there's a hell of a lot more factors that go into, you know, bringing a team down like the way the Astros did. You know, we've seen how they were the worst team in the NL Central. You know, less than, what would you say, five? I forget what year they went over. But, you know, they were coming out of a great World Series run that they lost to the White Sox in 2005 or 2006. And then, you know, the next thing you know, this team is on the bottom of everything. They get the new stadium. 2013, they introduced the new, you know, kind of the new jersey, bringing back some of that retro feel from the Nolan Ryan days and stuff like that. And then, you know, they started rebuilding and, you know, it continued to work, even though some guys from the Cardinals tried to steal them their system. And it's worked out great, but how well is it going to be in the next couple of years when they're not able to sign everybody? Especially with the pitching staff that they have right now. I don't know how they're going to be able to really kind of take on some of their youth. So I hope some of the guys they drafted aren't coming up on contract for at least 3 years. Because then you'll have to Verlander, Greinke, contracts up. I know you're going to save some money because Garrett Cole is probably going to go on to be the highest paid pitcher this offseason. So it's going to be him and Didi kind of up there. You know, the one thing, and I'm glad I kind of went into this and I wanted to ask you about it. And I know how you're going to feel, but I want you to put your words out there. Garrett Cole, one of the best records in MLB this year at 16-0. Now, I'm not going to knock the guy for that low win total, which, I mean, isn't that low. I mean, you know, the greatest thing for the Cubs was Carlos Zambrano's 18-year win. I felt like, you know, a long time. I don't know if anyone's max that. But, I mean, I don't know. That's the one thing I don't like about today's game is that not only is that number 16, well, let's be honest. The fact that he didn't lose the game is just awesome to begin with. But that low 16 number, I would have loved to have seen a little bit higher. But I also know that it has nothing to do with he and his performance as much as the way pitchers are handled today and where, you know, if he gives up a two-out double in the fourth inning, he's gone. So it doesn't count as a start. He doesn't get a win or a loss, even if they do win. I mean, how did you feel about that win? I'm not sure if you were watching the game when that stat was thrown out there, but you know, how do you feel about that?
Well, here, first, quick, let me tell you really quick that the Cardinals did stay alive. It was a Yadier Molina sacrifice fly in the bottom of the 10th to give them a 5-4 win. So they will come back to play another day. So we will see how that goes for the Cardinals, but. Yeah, I'm always frustrated with stats now because you know, things that used to be important aren't important anymore. You know, like a starting pitcher getting a win is no longer important to the analytical community, even though I think it's pretty impressive because it means you went out there and you kept your game, your team in it for five plus innings. But, you know, so, yeah, I don't understand, you know, the devaluation of it. But, I mean, you look at just today's games. Greinke went 3 2/3. Keuchel went 3 1/3. You know, I think a couple of the other starters came out after before five. I doubt we'll see Luis Severino go five innings for the Yankees tonight. You know, it seems to be the way starting pitching is going, where, you know, teams are buying into this. Well, you know, God, he can't face the lineup for a third time. You know, they'll knock him around. Now, are we so sure about that? I mean, if he's a good starting pitcher, maybe that means more than how many times he faces the lineup. I mean, obviously, if you throw a no-hitter like Justin Verlander did, you're going to have to face those guys a third time. I don't think you should worry about it if you've got a quality starting pitcher. You know, I mean, obviously, if you're running, you know, Tyler Chatwood out there, maybe you need to think about it when that third time comes up. But I get so lost with, you know, what they value and what they don't value. And, you know, as bad as bullpens are in today's game, you think starting pitching innings would be more important, and, you know, you would want those guys to be able to go out there and give you some innings. But looking here, you know, we only had 15 guys crack the 200 inning mark. So, you know, I mean, obviously there's something going on.
You know, and it's interesting because we talked about this sometime back when the Pirates were going up against the Astros. May have been them, or it was a Pirate. I don't know. Whatever game I was listening to, it was the local broadcast, and they were talking about Justin Verlander. It was a White Sox game. There we go. The White Sox are playing whoever, and they got on the topic of Justin Verlander and how they were always impressed, the White Sox announcers, that whatever he started off at in the beginning of the game, he could have given up three home runs and, you know, four runs or whatever. By the eighth inning, that same guy was going to be struck out. All those guys that hit the home runs off of him, because he continuously gets better as the game goes on. And it was reestablished over the weekend when A.J. Brzezinski in the booth. You know, a guy who's going to know about, you know, Justin Verlander is going to be AJ, who spent a lot of time going up against him. And then you also know a catcher, they have a little bit more, I'm not going to say they have inside knowledge on other pitchers, but definitely a pitcher in their division, they're going to know a lot more about. So, you know, I just thought that was crazy, and that's one of the things you don't hear about pretty much any other pitcher in the game today. And why is it that they've gone so far away from that? Is it because everyone has to throw 100 miles an hour?
Yeah. You know, well there's your debate. Since we mentioned both the names, you if you've got a Cy Young vote, who's number one, Verlander or Cole? I mean, looking here, Verlander was 21-6. Cole was 20-5. Verlander had a 2.58 ERA but made one more start. Cole was 2.50. Verlander threw 223 innings. Cole threw 212 1/3. Verlander struck out 300 on the nose. Cole struck out 326. You know, obviously they're going to be 1-2 on every ballot, but who's your number one?
This is where the hung jury comes into play, doesn't it?
Well, no, you got to pick one because you got to vote.
Yeah, I know. I'm putting Verlander and Cole next to each other. I want to see the first ever tie.
You're going to put them 1 and 1A, you know, so they can have all the votes there?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's difficult.
I lean on Verlander just because, but, I mean, if you're sitting there with your, you know, MLB Awards voting pamphlet or whatever, however the hell they do it, I'm sure the old guys get Scantron still. You know, and then they send it via the little eagle to New York for the they roll up their scroll and give it to the bird, and he flies it back in.
Right.
But
you put it in the pigeon's claw, and he flies it to wherever you need it to go.
Exactly. So, but I mean, you know, that's me just stalling, coming up with all that stupid crap. But I mean, how long would you sit there, Big Jack? How many hours would you be sitting there trying to pick those two? Who's going to be 1 and 2?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, yeah, I mean, you, you know, I mean, you can obviously keep going. I mean, Verlander gave up less hits. They had the, they gave up the equal amount of runs. Cole gave up less less home runs, but he walked more guys. The league hit less against Verlander. Verlander had the better whip. You know, and again, see, like, this would mean a little more to me is, you know, Verlander had 2 complete games. Cole didn't complete a game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, that would be a bit of a telling stat for me there. I know that means nothing now in, you know, in today's game, but, you know, to me that would weigh a little bit toward, you know, towards Verlander. But, yeah, I mean, it's literally so close. I mean, you could put their names in a hat and draw it out, and nobody's going to complain about who you vote for. You know, this will be
the
first time in history that nobody's going to complain about who you voted for.
Yeah. You know, at the end
of the day, unless some jackass on the East Coast puts Eduardo Rodriguez at number one.
I mean, when you run out of stats to compare, does it come down to whose record was better against Mike Trout?
Yes. Yeah, well, then, you got to wonder, I mean, does that no-hitter mean anything in the voting?
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know, this is, I think, case in point where, you know, LeBron James comes in. What defines the MVP? What defines the Cy Young? So, you know, is there ever going to be a definition for these awards? Some kind of criteria as opposed to.
Yeah, I don't think so, but, you know, and, you know, in a way that's a good thing because you get to come up with your own criteria,
that's
you know, on what you like and, you know, what you don't like, you know, part, you know, and that's where I hate where, you know, like you've mentioned that the networks have a little too much control over the voting, and
mm-hmm.
I don't like that. I wish you could get guys to make up their own minds a little more. Instead of relying on the fact, you know, like we've been listening to the MLB Network tell us for I don't know how long that Mike Trout is the American League MVP, but after missing all that time, there are some guys who I think might deserve the award a little more for him than him. You know, and that's something we'll have to get into, you know, at a later date because we're rapidly running out of time, but yeah, you know, I, you know, looks like you got off the hook here, Dan, because we're out of time and you didn't make a pick. So maybe tomorrow. Call again. Maybe we'll get a pick out of Dan. He's got a whole day not to look at it. One more time, you know, if you go to the postcamera.com, check out what's going on over there. Hit the link, just pop over to Facebook, so you know you went over there, go ahead and give that a like. Don't forget to put it to you guys on your phone radio. But feel free to look down on it on Twitter as well if you'd like to. As always, thank you for listening to the live, but if you do listen to this podcast today, go over to TuneIn.com and you can listen to anything you want.
For 10 Radio.
That's